We've been affected by it because we've grown up around it, because we work with people where that's their common language. We ourselves have fallen into it.
Dr. Tony Evans says reducing profanity takes more than just getting people to avoid a certain list of words.
It's bigger than the language. It's the heart of the individual that feels comfortable in spewing that kind of speech.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Profanity has become so common these days that if it suddenly disappeared, some people would hardly make a sound at all. But Dr. Evans says profane words themselves aren't as big an issue as the attitude that fosters them. Let's join him as he explains.
Most of us, if not all of us, in the morning need mouthwash because germs, bacteria collect overnight. Many of us need mouthwash at lunch, dinner. Many of us carry gum or mints because we know halitosis can be a problem. Mouthwash is designed to cleanse the mouth from the effects that have accumulated in it of bad breath. We're living in a day when there is a collective need for spiritual mouthwash because of the irreverence that is spewing out of the mouths of people today. We're living in a day of evil speech. The culture has thrown off all restraint when it comes to the kind of language that is used, how it is used, when it is used, where it is used, by whom it is used. And as I stated, the ages are getting younger and younger and younger. I talked to many of our public school teachers, and I've heard the war stories of elementary school kids cussing them out. The thing is that they can get this in so many directions now. Television, social media, and unfortunately, mom and daddy. Their friends. It's all over the place. The shock value has gone. Filth has become fodder for entertainment. Comedians understand that to make the jokes funnier and grittier, they need to or desire to add to the profanity. And because it is entertaining, it becomes acceptable. We've been affected by it because we've grown up around it, because we work with people where that's their common language, because we ourselves have fallen into it. And you know, you can fall into it a number of ways. You can fall into it because you have picked up the language. You can fall into it because you whisper it. You're too scared because you said you were a Christian, so you can't like say it out. And if you haven't said it out and if you don't whisper it, if somebody don't do something right, you're thinking it. It's easy. And the reality is, it's hard now to be entertained without it. The shows that are the popular shows are laced with it now. And they have now taken the liberty to go way out there in the use of the language. And even when they bleep it, you know what they bleeping. Because it's just become part of the accepted verbiage of the culture. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul has our first word, the subject. He says in Ephesians 4 verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear." Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. So Christians who are serious about their faith should not be known for their profanity. We should not be known for our profanity. Unwholesome or corrupt. Now, there are a lot of reasons people speak corrupt words. Sometimes it's to release frustration. You are frustrated at something and you let it out to express your frustration. Or you can do it to express displeasure or pain or hurt. Remember, what you say is a reflection of your heart. So a profane person, and I'm not talking about now slip of the tongue, but something that characterizes an individual is because that is they have a profane heart. So when people who spew profanities, it's bigger than the language. It's the heart of the individual that feels comfortable in spewing that kind of speech. Look at chapter 5, verse 4 of Ephesians. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So he talks about talk that is filthy, silly, or jokes that are coarse. Again, this is all language that you and I would sum up as profanity or cussing, not cursing, all of that, where gutter speech becomes our speech. While the world has lost its shock value, we should not lose ours. Now, some of it you can't help because it's around you. You can't control what other people say. So he says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. You can't stop them from talking, but you can stop you from joining in at that level. But unless you feel about it the way God feels about it, and I'll tell you why you need to feel about it in a moment, then it won't be that bad, especially if you're not using all the words they're using. You know, you're not throwing all the bombs out there. A little girl one day was the daughter of a clergyman, of a preacher, and she stubbed her toe. She stubbed the toe. Ah! And she said, darn. She said, darn. It's not that bad. But the father didn't want her to go in that direction. So he came and said, dear, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a quarter if you promise me you'll never say darn again. She said, okay, daddy, but I got a word worth a dollar. It's amazing what you'll say if the money's right. But suffice it to say at this point that God does not want the coarse jesting, the profane joking, the filthiness of speech to be part of our vocabulary. There's a reason for that, but we'll talk about that in just a second. So your speech matters. At the heart of cursing is often taking God's name in vain. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, part of the Ten Commandments, you are not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The word vain means something that is empty, worthless, without purpose, or waste. God does not like to be called out of his name. And yet much that goes under the name of profanity includes the name God. When you attach God to profanity, you have taken his name in vain. In other words, you have used it void of its content. None of us here likes to be called out of our name. I don't think anybody here wants, I mean, we'll tell people, don't call me out my name. That's not my name. Why not? If you and me, sinful as we are, don't want to be called out of our name, how do you think a perfect God feels being called out of his name? What's worse is folk will call God out of his name after thanking God for this opportunity that God has given them to be in this position. So to profane the name of God means also to attach it to something that is not consistent with who he is. So when you attach God's name to something that is inconsistent with him, when you illegitimately swear in his name, I swear to God. When he becomes the basis of your swearing illegitimately, you have used his name in vain. In other words, it's not attached to something that's true to him. So his name is being used out of context. It's being used void of the reality of the person to which it belongs. God's name is not common, so he doesn't want it to be treated commonly. It's holy, therefore it's set apart. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 12, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37, he says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. In other words, you should be so honest, you don't even need to swear in the name of God. Because that just should be you. But the principle is to not attach his name to that which is unacceptable. None of us accepts forgery. Forgery is the unauthorized use of your name. That's your name being used when you didn't approve it. Somebody forged your signature on something. God's name gets forged on a lot of stuff that he hadn't signed off on. God does not want his name used unless he himself can sign off on what just happened. If he can't sign off on it, don't attach his name to it. That's called spiritual forgery, and that's a crime. When you say God told you to do something, and you're using God's name for self-promotional purposes, in other words, God didn't tell you, you just want to do it, but to make it sound better that you want to do it, you put God's name in front of it. When you're in court, they make you put your hand on the Bible and they make you swear. Why? Because now you become accountable to what you say on the stand. And you can now position yourself to perjure yourself. Why? Because now God has been brought into the picture.
But outside of court, God's name has been brought into some pretty ugly pictures. And Dr. Evans will have more to say about that in just a moment. First, though, I wanted to let you know that today's message is the final installment in Tony's series, Watch Your Mouth. That means it's also your last chance to receive, as our gift, a copy of the complete 11-message, 2-volume audio compilation, along with its companion follow-up book. Just contact us before the end of the day, make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry, and we'll send you the special Watch Your Mouth double resource bundle to show our appreciation. If you've ever felt pain or regret after saying something you wish you hadn't, or you just need some help speaking more of God's words and fewer of your own, this resource package is perfect for you. But today's the last day this special offer will be available. So contact us right away at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements. You can even give one of our friendly team members a call at 1-800-800-3222, and they can help get this package coming your way. I'll repeat that contact information for you again after part two of today's lesson and this.
In a world dealing with multiple pandemics and clashes, Dr. Tony Evans says we need more than ever to find ways to express kindness to one another. He talks about his Kindness in the Culture initiative.
You are to show kindness to someone who needs a kind act done. You do the act of kindness, you pray for the person, you share the good news of the gospel with them. And if we can get millions of people doing that, we can change the atmosphere.
Dr. Evans is making it even easier to take your act of kindness one step further by making available to you for a gift of any amount a copy of his Hope for the Hurting book and Bible study, allowing you to share them with someone in need.
This will give them the comfort of God as they deal with the struggles of life. If you agree that the world is too mean and that kindness needs to be something that becomes normal in the culture, ask for your copy of Hope for the Hurting to encourage someone else.
Visit tonyevans.org today to take advantage of this special Hope for the Hurting kindness offer. In order to maximize the impact of this campaign, only one offer is available per person and only while supplies last. Find out more and make your request today at tonyevans.org.
It's time for kindness in the culture.
To take advantage of Tony's special Hope for the Hurting Kindness in the Culture offer, we ask that you include a minimum gift of $5 to help defray shipping and handling. Remember, this offer is only available while supplies last. And now let's get back to our message.
I don't think anybody who is sane would go into the presence of the President of the United States and curse him out. Regardless of your political persuasion, that would be viewed as inappropriate given who we're talking to and who we're talking about. Yet God's name gets thrown around in every which way, whether it's profanity or whether it's being attached to something illegitimately, all day long. And one of the main ways that his name gets thrown around is in cursing, not cussing, but cursing. A curse in the Bible is no small thing. A curse in the Bible is where you pronounce evil, ruin, or judgment on a person. In Mark chapter 11, he cursed the fig tree and it died from the root up. So to curse something is to call for its ruin. I want you not to take this lightly, even though it is light in the culture. I don't want you to take it lightly. I don't want you to consign damnation to people. That doesn't mean not correcting them, not, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to curse them, to call for their ruin. And why? Psalm 109. Pay close attention to this one. He also loved cursing. So it came to him. And he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, and it entered into his body like water and like oil into his bones. When you speak a curse, you have invited that curse upon yourself. Let me say that again. That's what the verse 17, 18 says. To love to curse, to call for ruin. That's not correcting. That's calling for somebody's ruin. You have entered into the territory of Satan. For he operates in curses. That's his world. The earth was cursed because of him. That is his world. His world is a world of cursing. Because his goal is to bring ruin. And so when you do that, what you're doing is you've now entered his realm, and the boomerang principle, what goes around, comes back at you. So in cursing others, you are inviting a curse on you. You're bringing on you what you intend to go to somebody else. It's because it's coming from the dirt inside of you. That garbage that is in us invites the demonic roaches to make themselves at home. Demons, like roaches, hang around garbage. So when the garbage is coming from inside of you, then the demons know where they can hang out. So what you're seeing today spiritually in all of this cursing and cussing and using the name of God in vain is the demonic infiltration. Satan in the speech. And Satan has no problem doing his work while simultaneously using the name God. In the garden, hath God said. And it's Satan talking. He'll use God to get you to him. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:9, to pay back evil with a blessing and not with a curse. Why? So that the blessing can come back to you. You can bring the cursing back. You can bring the blessing back. And so he warns us about cursing, calling for ruin, as opposed to correcting or legitimate judging, because that is a prerogative of God, not of you. There's another reason, finally, why we want to deal with our irreverent speech. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, to the verse we started with, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. That's deep. Do not grieve, sadden, or offend the Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity. God wants to be in your mouth. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through your tongue as you yield your mouth to him. And he does not want to be grieved by your unwholesome language or saddened, grieved, to be made sad. When the Bible describes the Holy Spirit, it likens the Holy Spirit to a dove. A dove. A dove is a most sensitive bird. A dove is very sensitive. It will fly off quickly when you get too close, because it's real sensitive. That's why when it talks about saddening or grieving, it relates it to the Holy Spirit, because he's like real sensitive. Any of you men married to sensitive women? You know, they'll cry quickly or maybe get upset quickly or, you know, get emotional quickly, because they're sensitive. Of course, some of you ladies may be married to sensitive men, but he's extraordinarily sensitive, watch this, to what you say. He's sensitive to unwholesome speech. It's like somebody who you have authority over and you saying to them, don't curse around me. I'm sensitive about that. Okay? Where you have the right to say it. Don't say that to me. Why is he bringing the grieving of the Holy Spirit on the level of speech? Because the dove will quickly fly away. I'm not talking about leave your life. I mean, fly away from fellowship with you so that you do not have his working, because he's too sensitive. He can't hang around that. So you lose his presence and his influence when he's got to hang around that, because he says, that ain't me. That's not the environment I want to hang around in. I can't control where I'm living because you're my child, but I don't have to be close because I'm sensitive about this unwholesome speech. So this has nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with your intimacy and experience of God working in your life.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with one last thought to wrap up this final lesson in his powerful teaching series called Watch Your Mouth. As I mentioned earlier, this is your last chance to take advantage of the special offer we've put together for you. It includes all 11 full-length messages from the audio series on CD or digital download, along with the companion Watch Your Mouth book. We'll send them to you right away with our thanks when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's lessons available on this station and others like it around the world. These Watch Your Mouth resources help us see what God can build into our lives when we control what comes out of our mouths. Be sure to request them today. You can do that online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Spiritual growth isn't just a matter of changing what we know or even what we believe. Dr. Evans says at its heart, it changes who we are. He'll explain tomorrow as he launches a powerful series on the essentials of spiritual growth. Right now, though, he's back with a final thought to wrap up for today.
Remember in creation, when God spoke, it says the Spirit of God moved along the waters. He hovered over the waters. God spoke and the Spirit moved. That's how it's supposed to work. When you speak, God's Spirit's supposed to move. But if he don't like what you're talking about, that movement will cease. Because he's sensitive. He gets offended really easy when he's insulted by our speech.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.